Because, my friends, it's been a difficult week or two that we've had lately. It seems only yesterday we were standing out front with our friends from Temple Hillel B'nai Torah, singing and over, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, remember? Right out front, holding up our signs, no to hate, yes to love. We will build a world of love. And that was only 2 weeks ago. Our hearts broke for our Jewish families and friends who suffered the hate of anti-Semitism yet again. We hardly had the names that morning of those who had been killed. And now there are even more to add to the list, a younger crowd, a more random violence, but no less a loss. And not least among them, and this I am asking you to consider, the loss of a human soul to the tragedy of war. We can only imagine that the perpetrator of this horrific event was as absent his sanity as our sad Matt McCaffrey. We pray that someday sooner than later, we humans might turn all our swords into plowshares so that more lives than we can count do not continue to be lost. I do want to acknowledge on this Veterans Day weekend gratitude for all of those who have served in our armed forces with honor and dignity, for those who have served over the many years, even as we grieve the ones who did not come home or who have not come home whole. So these past 2 weeks, we have suffered more of the ugly rhetoric that has tragically become the standard fare. We have voted our way through the midterm elections. Thank goodness they're over. We're very happy with some things. Yes on three. We know that there are new members of Congress with different colors and genders who have been voted into office. We may be less happy with other results, no doubt. But we have heard the exceptional news also that our sanctuary guest has returned home, beyond wonderful. And as mentioned, another of the last 2 weeks, another event, the mass shooting that has ravaged a small town. And the fires that we watch helplessly raging through California. All of this is exhausting. All of this and the rest of our lives, which for many of us is routine and for some of us, not so much. This heightened state of restlessness and anxiety appears in some ways to be our new normal. And we ask, really? It feels really. Forget just the 2 weeks. It has been 2 years or more of this added stress. This is the sermon title I used in 2016 because I wasn't sure of the election outcome and it seemed the most flexible. At the time, I suggested that the result may have surprised many of us and was likely a pushback in response to our changing world, a world with more people and fewer resources, a world strained by the need to take care of each other differently than we have ever had to do. I spoke then about this time as our wandering, like Moses, you may remember. Freed from the known existence of slavery, the Israelites were not yet arrived in the promised land, and wandering, complaining, whining to their leader. Get us there. Get us to the new place already. Like Moses and his followers, we are being asked, I said, 2 years ago, by the circumstances of our numbers and proximity on this earth, to evolve into a new way of being. We are in that desert, that wandering land. The pushback is a sure sign of that, and the new reality is already requiring us to experience what all change requires, what sociologist Marty Linsky refers to as a distribution of loss. We are all having to give up something because becoming something new and sustaining means things will not stay the same. So I think we have been experiencing an increased pushback, if anything, these 2 years, led theoretically by someone who has no intention of sharing any of the loss, someone who has no capacity to help us understand the impact of our global climate challenges, who in fact appears to have no sense that they are real, or that we as a country have any responsibility to anyone other than ourselves. These last 2 years have felt to many of us like the flood I spoke about this morning. The rain of hubris has been steadily pouring down. The drains are clogged with 2 years plus of detritus. So the waters are rising and we're struggling to keep our chins up and our hearts open. For many, if not most of us, it is, as I said, simply exhausting. Those of us who find ourselves on the progressive end of the spectrum, whether through politics or theology, who believe in our interdependence as a world community, who serve a vision of care and compassion for all people, we are all made weary by our current malaise. So the question becomes, how are we faring? Somewhat poorly on any given day. How are our hearts? If they're anything like mine, challenged and weary. I saw an image of Venice the other day, the city that is always close to the water. And yet that day it was overrun by 4 or 5 feet flowing through the streets of this city. People walking around looking like salmon fishermen with waders up to their hips. Storekeepers dumping water by the bucketful out of their little store shops with these half doors in front, like the doors on the front of the bathtubs that open up but keep the water in. You know, it's just a matter of time when you watch it. The efforts look so futile. It reminded me of my raking yesterday in the veritable windstorm of my neighborhood. My neighbor laughed and called me Sisyphus. Leaves swirling down around me. Many of you know I was away last weekend at a conference for religious professionals, actually for religious educators and the colleagues who chose to join them. For many of my years of service to this tradition, these were my people, educators. I believe so strongly in the learning that is implicit in our faith, the becoming that we sang about today. It's why I am here. It's why I raised my children in this tradition. I believe in the learned and the lived faith, the faith that encourages growth in each and every one of us, a constant and attended evolving towards spiritual maturity. I believe in the faith that requires our engagement all day, every day, not just when we come to church or make time for a spiritual practice. And not just when we're doing some particular something that expresses our values in the world, like shopping for goods for a food mart, or holding signs at a rally, but also when we're making our beds or folding our clothes or tending our garden or paying our bills. Like the simple and relentless drip of water that softens the edge of stone, I believe everything we do and are can be an expression of our faith in this life. Everything a song, everything a hope, everything a prayer. And if it's not, I invite you to sit still and think about why not for you, because it could be, without label or creed, a faith in our presence and our capacity for repair, and we need that. We all need that for ourselves and so much more. 20th century theologian and Unitarian minister James Luther Adams, who either died on the 12th or was born on November 12th, and I don't know which, suggested that the faith of a church is an adequate faith only when it inspires and enables people to give of their time and energy to shape the institutions of the common life. Only an adequate faith when it inspires and enables people to give of their time and energy to shape the institutions of the common life. As much as our faith must be about our own well-being, it is inadequate when it does not extend to the care of our shared living. Those seeds that we heard about in this morning's story, the seeds that brought something beautiful to a damaged land, are the possibility that exists all around us, on behalf of each of us and on behalf of all of us. They are the same idea as the promised land to the Israelites who first had to wander. And like the wandering, we may not know when we'll see something bloom, but we can imagine that it will. The seed not separate from the flood that carried it in. A gift that was once a tragedy. So I wonder, in our shared life this morning, are we seeing any seeds yet? I painted a somewhat dim picture, but I think we are seeing those signs of hope, those shoots of green coming into our muddy backyards. Not one, but two 29-year-old women have shown up as leaders and were elected to Congress. The fact that they ran is a seed of hope. The fact that they won, even more so. How great is this? Native American and Muslim voices have been elected as well this year. Massachusetts is sending its first Black woman to Congress. Diversity alone, the diversity that our faith aspires to represent in its radical welcome, will change the conversation. These are seeds of hope carried in by the flood, right? I hope we are seeing similar seeds in our own lives, signs of hope, even if carried in by waters of despair. So a small humor break here. I was watching, what is her name? It'll come to me in 10 minutes. A comedian doing a short YouTube. She invited an imam and a rabbi, a minister. She was herself the atheist, a Hindu and a Buddhist. And they played horse to find out whose religion was really the truth. Sarah Silverman, exactly. So they all had little jokes here and there, but I really enjoyed the Buddhist, who said, "Why doesn't the Buddha vacuum under his bed? He doesn't have any attachments." Isn't that great? A little laughter, it's important. Because for better or worse, we do have attachments, right? We are invested in outcomes, whether we should be or not. Try as we might to allow for whatever life has to offer us, we find ourselves attached, here especially, to the direction the arc is bending, for one thing. This is a time out of time, friends. We haven't been here before. When I was writing this morning, I heard Kenny Loggins, right? "We may never pass this way again." Fingers crossed. We are reminded occasionally that our country has experienced worse and survived, and yes, I do think that climate change alters things significantly, as Stan reminded us. But the truth is that things have been worse before, and we still need to remember to hold tight in our hearts and our memories the reality that a flood can also carry seeds of repair, that things can improve, that there is the possibility of primroses to startle us awake again. This faith asks us to step up every minute, every hour, every day to whatever challenges us, to find the holy in every moment and be refreshed by it, at the very least, sustained by it. The idea that we are endlessly becoming, that we are growing into a maturity of understanding, it calls us to our own journeys and, as importantly, to those we share. Surrender only to this life, this day, this hour, not because it does not constantly break your heart, but because it also beckons with beauty, startles with delight, if only we keep waking up. This is the gift we have been given, these body clothes, this heartbreak, this pulse, this breath, this light, these friends, this hope. Remember yourself in the cause to which we are committed, a free faith and a boundless hope that we are each and ever moving forward together to a bigger love. Don't despair, neither in your own life or in our collective one, as tempting as it might be. There are seeds to be noticing. There are signs of hope and growth, even in the depth of the water. Let them refresh us as we trust in their very existence. So may it be, my friends. And amen.